Welcome to the Moments of Joy podcast. My name is Camille Joy, and I'm the host of this show. This podcast is dedicated to a very special group of parents, parents raising children with disabilities. There are an estimated 240 million children across the globe living with disabilities. And here on this podcast, it is my goal to create community for the parents raising them. Community locking arms from all over the globe. I pray that as you listen to each episode that has been handcrafted for you, you leave encouraged, you leave strengthened, you leave educated, and you even leave with some resources. So come on into the room, take off your shoes, relax, come on and take a seat on the couch, and let's experience moments of joy. Welcome back to another episode of the Moments of Joy podcast. Today, I am sitting down with a TikTok mom that I found, and her name is Delika Williams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
You're welcome. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit about who you are?
Yes, for sure. So my name is Delika Williams. I have an autistic son. He was diagnosed at 3. He's autistic, nonverbal. He currently does have self-injury, and we've been reducing it. He uses an AAC device to communicate. So that's his main form of communication. His sign language is very minimal. He only does more right now. It's hard for him to form his hands into different positions. And then I'm married. I also have a 2-year-old with a speech delay, and he is in early intervention. And he recently got a psychological exam. And he's not autistic. He just needs some speech services and early intervention.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into all of that.
All right.
So I found Delika on TikTok. So I have over the years been more active on Instagram, but I just started with TikTok, and you were like one of the first moms that I kind of started following, besides Stacy's mom and, you know, the
else.
Yes. But I chatted with you in the DMs a little bit and definitely wanted to have you on because there's so much information that you give on your page. You've been building community on your page. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Maddox because it will help other people who may start to see signs and don't know what to do. And so we'll get into it.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so let's start from the beginning and talk about the signs that you begin to see that alarmed you. Or I don't want to use the word alarm. I saw that on the news today. That's where that word came from. When America had a school about autism, they used alarm.
Right.
So, which made you begin to take note of things. Right.
So with Maddox, he was a preemie. So after he was born, he was in NICU for 10 days and he had issues with eating. So he didn't really start feeding until I was able to start producing breast milk. And then I would say we started noticing, let's say, delays with Maddox when he was a baby. He never crawled. He didn't crawl until he learned how to walk. And he learned how to walk when he was 17 months old, so much later. Mm-hmm. And then also his eye contact wasn't really there and his sense of awareness, you know, that now that we've had another child and seen him as a baby, like he's so aware. But to where Maddox, he didn't have that sense of awareness of just, you know, other noises in the room and tracking and whatnot, you know, baby tracking. Mm-hmm. And it was really, I would say, more obvious when he was maybe 1 because he wasn't talking. And he had very little babble, but he lost that around 1 year old. But it was very minimal. It wasn't like most babies babble a lot, but Maddox didn't have that. So he completely stopped babbling. And at 9 months old, he started shaking his head really fast, like this, back and forth. And people would say, you know, we go out in public, oh, he's saying no. And it's like, no, he's not saying no. And because with his, it's like, you know, really fast and just continuous, very repetitive. And that started at 9 months old. So that was a sign right there in itself. And I started bringing things up to the pediatrician at 1 year old, the 1 year old checkup. I remember I know people talk about vaccinations. They don't want to talk about it, but I was very hesitant to do the MMR vaccination. And I'm like, you know, I don't know about this. And I got talked into it. You know, I can make up my own mind, and I went ahead and went through with it. And I honestly wish I didn't, because that's when the babbling stopped. But at that point, he already had the head shaking at 9 months regardless, but he also had all of his vaccinations as well too. And I'm not saying vaccinations cause autism. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this is what I see with my own personal son that I give birth to. And then at the 18-month checkup, I brought up to the pediatrician. I'm like, okay, Maddox isn't talking. He just started walking a month ago, because this is at the 18-month checkup. And I was kept being told, you know, we need to just wait, because remember, he's a preemie. Let's give him time. Let's do audiology. And we did all the audiology. And once he turned three, or I'm sorry, he started therapy at 2 years old, but he was only being seen once a week, which is not enough for autism. Right. And my background, I have my master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. So I'm aware of these things, but at the same time, when it's your own child, you look at things a little differently. And I'm trying to believe the pediatrician and everyone else telling me, no, he just needs time. And I wish I wouldn't have did that, to be honest. I really wish I wouldn't have did that. So at three, his self-injury started, and that's when we got him diagnosed finally. Like, I had to push for that. Wow. I had to say, no, this is the place I want to go to, because I called everywhere. And I want to tell everyone, call around everywhere and find who can get your kid in the soonest. Do you take my insurance? How soon can you get him in? I called everywhere, and I finally found a place. I live in California, in Rancho Cucamonga. So I drove the 2 hours there, because we live on a mountain, and they saw him within a month. And she's like, I don't know how anyone else didn't see this. He's moderate to severe autistic. So that's been our journey. And then we had another kid.
I just wrote down that you live in California, because that is a mom that DM'd me about resources in California. I want to connect her to, and she didn't know what to do. But that's the beauty of, you know, following and finding other moms like you online, because then the community, sense of community begins to form.
Exactly.
You said so much. So I want to back up a little bit, because we have something and so Mason Maddox. Traumatic birth too, and he had congenital heart disease. So he had three heart surgeries by the time he was one and a half. Mm-hmm. And much like you, at 5 or 6 months, when I knew that he was supposed to at least be responding to his name, he wasn't. So I want to add into there, moms that are listening or dads, you can begin to even take note when they're born, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. And I think with babies as well too, across the nation, everyone needs to know you can get your kid into early intervention from 0 to 3 years old, and you do not need a pediatrician's referral. We didn't do that for Maddox. Instead, we just started putting him into therapies, seeing if therapies would help. And that wasn't enough, because it wasn't enough therapies and enough consistency of therapies at the same time. And he wasn't getting, he was getting speech at the time. I had him in speech too. I forgot about that. So I had him in quite a few things, but it wasn't as consistent as it should be. So like I said, even with our youngest, he's in early intervention right now without a doctor's referral. So I was told with our youngest, oh, let's just give him time too. And I'm like, no, he might not be autistic. I'm talking about our 2-year-old, but I want to start services, because if we wait, and the more we wait, that further delays him, and I do not want to further delay my child. And that's what I should have did with Maddox. I should have got him into early intervention when he was a baby. Google your state, search your state, and put in early intervention, and you apply, and you should get a phone call within probably a week to a month, and your child starts early intervention without a doctor's referral. So everyone needs to know. And speaking of California, because you mentioned the lady in California, if you live in California and you have a child that has a diagnosis of autism, you most likely qualify for in-home support services that pays parents to stay home and take care of their autistic child. And it did, and I get 206 hours a month, which is great. It helps out a lot. Yeah. Because I would like to work. I would love to be using my master's degree and making so much more money. But at the same time, my child needs me right now. And that's who both of my children. And so I'm using that to be able to have some type of income to stay home, to care for Maddox, because we had him in preschool and his self-injury went
Wow.
So I took him out of preschool. So now he's solely homeschooled, ABA, you know, all of his services and whatnot. So.
And I love that you brought up the early intervention, because I didn't get Mason early intervention either. And I feel like I was so focused on being defensive that I didn't do what was best for him. And now looking back, I can, you know, make that, I can say that, you know, and help someone else. But when he came home, they offered birth to three services. And I was like, no, he's fine. He doesn't need that. But it's not about what they need, right? It's preventing delays.
Exactly.
And if doctors are saying this would benefit your child, then sometimes they do know better.
Exactly. Yeah. And the unfortunate thing with early intervention is it's not, I would say, blasted out there enough for everyone to know about, even at doctor's visits. I'm not seeing forms for early intervention on the walls, you know, the little packets that in the little slots. Like, this is not talked about enough, and it's not even talked about in the support group I go to. So the more people that I try to post it on TikTok, as I'm trying to get more on Instagram, but I try to post it on TikTok as much as possible, like once a week. Early intervention, guys, early intervention, because I was one too thinking, you know, let me just believe this doctor and let's wait, because they probably know what's best, when it's like, no, as parents, we know. And if we're seeing delays in our children, why not start these services now? And a lot of people want to do the waiting game of, let's just wait and see what happens, because that's what the doctor said too. But no, that further delays a child when they can get help right now.
Absolutely. You know, Mason's pediatrician, she said, oh, he's fine, don't worry about it, twice. And so we had to go around her and get him diagnosed. So I love all of what you shared. So many parents are just wondering and waiting, and you know, are proof that, you know, really, you have to advocate on another level.
You have to advocate, yeah.
We would love to talk about school, because school is stressing me out right now.
I know how you feel.
But I remember seeing your TikToks about the device and noticing that the school was only spending, what, 15 minutes on the device with Maddox for his speaking. Yeah, it's that. Wow. So I would love for you to share about your experience in the public school.
Right. So we started Maddox's IEP, which means we enrolled him in school when he was 3 years old. So he turned three in May. I started the process, and I could have started that at 2.5 since he had a diagnosis, you know, since he was showing delays, which a lot of parents don't know about. You can start your kids earlier getting the process done. So he started school at age 3. And then at age a couple months, no, what happened? I actually took him out of school after he was in school for a week and a half, because I found an intensive autism program. They actually contacted me because they had Maddox over the summer, but it was online. It's hard for Maddox. So they said, you know, because of COVID, and then they're like, okay, we open up the program. We're seeing kids in person now. So we rented a place 1.5 hours away, because we live on a mountain. It was during snow season, and that's hard to do, you know, have a mortgage and rent another place on top of that. So we rented a place, put him in that intensive program until, for 3 months it was, until December. And the school suspended his IEP. So you can suspend a child's IEP to try something different for a while. A lot of people don't know that. You don't have to just stop the IEP. So I suspended the IEP so that way I could put him back into school if I wanted to. And his IEP is suspended right now too, by the way. So January hit, the services were done after 3 months, and I put him right back in school because he had his IEP. So the IEP opened back up. And from there, he started ABA. And ABA is the one who said, let's get him a talking device. Mm. You know, they said, let's try PECS first and see how he picks up to that. And you don't have to do PECS or AAC or sign language in any order for a child. You can start with AAC, ASL, or PECS. It doesn't matter. So he did PECS for a couple weeks. He was doing good with that. I used items that he wanted the most, like food items, drinks, Mickey Mouse, whatever. And that got him into PECS really quick and using the icon. So from there, I ordered an AAC device, like myself. I got him an iPad, a used iPad, iPad mini, and ProLoquo Go. It's about $230. So I purchased that, and I just started sending it to the school. And I emailed the principal and teacher, and I said, Maddox now has an AAC device that he's learning. And I emailed the SLP at the school that he's learning in ABA, and this is his main form of communication. So he needs to use that at the school as well, too. And the school pushed back and said, well, no, you know, that might not be good at the school. And what if another child breaks it? So they said, we have to have an IEP to talk about it, but most likely we're not going to allow that to happen and for him to bring his AAC device. So I put up a TikTok and it got a ton of views and everyone said, use this advocate, the IEP strategist. So she actually contacted me and we started messaging back and forth and she became our advocate. She was in three IEPs for us and she got the school to purchase Maddox an AAC device, his talking device. So that way he could push buttons on his computer and talk and communicate. And she also got the SLP, speech language pathologist, to do more sessions. And so from there, and then even there, I'm looking at his device one day and I left it on a specific spot and I touched a couple things and it stayed up in the top of the screen just to see what they would do. Right. And then when he came home, it looked the exact same, which means not one button was touched. It's not being modeled. It's not being used. So I emailed the principal right away and let him know how I felt about that.
Because it's just so hard. And Mason's only in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my first experience with school. And I'm like, am I strong enough to do homeschool? Or should I do? I found private schools that do K through 12. They offer scholarships because there's no way I could afford another college tuition right now type of payment. But it's horrible. And I love that you brought up the IEP strategist because there is help for parents. And I also recently learned that the school system is supposed to provide an AAC device for your child.
Yeah. If you request an AAC assessment, all you have to do is, I emailed the principal. I jumped over everybody. I'm like, Maddox needs an AAC assessment. How soon can we make this happen? So they held the IEP addendum. And that's when I had the IEP strategist in there too, to help me out with that, because I knew this is what he needed, but at the same time, it wasn't being used in school. So long story short, the summer hit, he was out of school. Well, actually, he was in summer school for a while because he loved school at the time too. And then when the new school year hit in September of last year, 2022, I'm sorry, he went back to school. The whole entire staff changed. The aides changed. Everyone changed. It was crazy. And his self-injury went poof. And I had one of those mommy moments the first day of school that I took him. I took him. I dropped him off. I came home and I looked at my husband and I'm like, I have to go back. And I was like, I gave him our youngest kid before he was going to work. I'm like, I don't have a good feeling. And I went back to the school. Why was I able to access the gate, open it easily? Because it was cracked open, which meant any kid that elopes, my son could have easily pushed that gate open, walked across the street to the lake. That's what he loves, water, and got into that lake or the oncoming traffic or anything. And I got to the school to the classroom door and it was propped open with a baby gate, and the baby gate wasn't attached on one side. And I'm like, and Maddox is crying. So I go straight to my child, you know, ignoring everything else because I'm getting to my child. I had a bad feeling. And he's laying on the ground flat, crying with a scratch by his eye. And I'm like, what happened? And he had a one-to-one, which I also fought for as well, too, with the IEP strategist. And she's like, well, I guess I scratched him. So we got him a one-to-one as well, too. So if your child isn't, any children is child is not doing as well in school, meeting their IEP goals, or just needs more help, you can get your child a one-to-one, and the school pays for that one-to-one. And I specifically requested the one-to-one to have ABA training as well, too, which they did. But it wasn't a good fit for Maddox regardless, because his self-injury went up and the teacher was honest, you know, I need help with Maddox. Do you have any ideas? And Maddox is only in preschool, so I just decided to homeschool him. But I think if he were in kinder, like your child, or even older, if your child is not meeting the IEP goals, the school has to pay to put them somewhere else.
That's right.
You can find your own private setting, whichever, I already found one too, but you can find your own private setting, and the school has to pay for that. And the school has to even bus them if it's too far for the parent to drive. So parents need to know these things. But right now I'm choosing to homeschool our child until he's maybe in the first grade.
Yeah, all of that is so important to know. And I think, you know, as autism parents or just parents of special needs children, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, it's important to be in communities so that you hear from other parents. Like, you just told me about this one-on-one.
Okay.
Make sure I read his IEP and make sure that he is getting the help that he needs. Teachers are overwhelmed.
Teachers are very overwhelmed. They don't have enough support. They don't have enough even training sometimes as well, too. Like, I know his new teacher, she was thrown in from an aide position straight into, now you're teaching all these kids with different disabilities. And that could, and I know my son, he was the most severe in the classroom. Like, it's obvious. But that classroom could not provide enough support for him. So it's important for me to keep him home right now. And do, like, before he was diagnosed, I'm going to back up a little bit. I took Mary Barbera's courses, and I still take them now too. And I learned so much from taking her courses, like how important table time is, but not forcing table time, but just doing it maybe 2 to 3 times a day and starting at the child's, you know, using what their child is interested in. Like, Maddox was only interested at that time, this is before his diagnosis, Tupperware lids and water bottles. So I used what he was interested in, brought him to the table, cleaned the environment, didn't have it all cluttered like it is right now. And okay, what can you do with these? You can stack Tupperware lids. You can sort them into different colors. We can learn to count. We can learn our colors. We can learn how to share, take turns back and forth with the water bottles, with the Tupperware lids. We can learn how to unscrew water bottles, fine motor skills. Like, parents don't realize you can use whatever your child's into, because a lot of parents say, but my child doesn't do activities. Neither did mine. Right. I used what he loved, and that's what he loved, Tupperware lids and water bottles, and would slowly incorporate, okay, now let's try a puzzle piece real quick and model how to put a puzzle piece in, and then he might do it a little bit, and I'm like, oh, yay, let's play with some more Tupperware lids, you know, to keep his interest. There's so much that can be done at home. So much.
Yeah, I love that. Mason loves straws. Straws are his things.
A lot of
straws. A lot, but just one. I send him to school with a straw every day.
You can count straws. You can sort straws into colors. You can take turn learning how to blow bubbles or just blow the straw out of your. There's so much you can do with the straw. Add them on top of each other. Like, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And so, How old is Maddox today?
Maddox is 4.5 now. He's going to be 5 this May.
Okay. And so you've already made the decision that you will continue to homeschool him.
Yes. And we are also planning to move. We live on a mountain that does not provide occupational therapy, what else? His physical therapy and his feeding therapy. So right now he's only getting ABA and speech. ABA is in person, speech is virtual. And I would rather have speech in person as well too. And yeah, these services, ABA is 5 days a week, speech is 3 days a week, but he needs all of his services. So I'm looking at it like, I don't want to be in the same situation 5 years from now, 2 years from now, 20 years from now, and wondering why I didn't move for my son.
Yeah.
I know it's not affordable, but why we didn't try everything we possibly can. So right now we're looking for a place off the mountain so that we can move both of our kids and my husband can still come up here to work, you know, bigger. He's a licensed plumber. He owns his own plumbing business. So he can come up here whenever he needs the big jobs, you know, to keep us going. And then I get the IHSS as well too. I'm going to reapply for SSI, even though we don't qualify, but I'm going to try again because I don't give up.
Keep trying.
It's been a year and I'm trying again now because I've heard some laws have changed with that. My dad told me. So we're going to move him and both of our kids. So that way our youngest could be in daycare around other, you know, kids that are, I guess, typically developing, because he only is really seeing Maddox right now. And we have them in their play group as well, too. But Maddox needs so much more than what this mountain can offer him. And I'm not going to let him be 25, 15, 10. And we didn't move for our child, because that would just be ridiculous to me. I would go home.
That is so beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. I saw another mom online. She moved her family from Florida to Colorado for services because for his condition, she said it was the best move. And I was like, wow, that is so beautiful.
Yep.
You know?
You got to do what's best for your child.
You're right, because then we would live with the regret of, I could have done this while they were younger.
And why didn't? At the same time, we have to take care of us too.
There you go.
Because we forget about ourselves in the process. And we
there you go. Let's stay there for a second.
We can't do that.
My goodness.
I go to my support group that I created up here on the mountain once a month. Mm-hmm. And I wish it was more often. I need it more often. I know I do. I'm trying to work out when the boys go to sleep. But because that helps my whole mindset, just to clear my mind of the busy, hectic, crazy, good or bad day. But we have to. We can't forget ourselves in the process. I'm thinking about going to school to get my doctorate. I don't know how I'm going to fit in the time, but that's what I want to do for me. What are you doing for you?
What are you doing for you? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. That's like one of the most important things. And the thing that I hear the most from moms that we are neglecting ourselves and not consistently pouring into ourselves. Those are all the things that you like that you mentioned, you know?
Exactly.
Even I told my husband yesterday that I was gonna start going back to the gym on Monday. I have to start taking better care of myself. I do take care of myself mentally, but I'm realizing I don't take care of my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not watching really what I eat and taking care of my body. Just not even really to lose weight, but to be healthy.
Healthy in general. Exactly. And I found I stopped going to my doctor's appointments. I wasn't doing my vision. I wasn't doing dentist. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing my well woman, you know, all the stuff that you're supposed to do. So last year I started doing that. I'm like, no, I'm going to my vision appointment. I got my kids, because my vision appointment is off the mountain. So I got my kids. I scheduled it months out. I got a hotel room so they could go swimming too. And I told the doctor, I'm bringing my kids. That's fine. Okay. Because you don't have a choice. And then from there, I got a pair of glasses and I got my prescription. Then I went to Walmart because it's cheaper. And I bought another pair of glasses so I could switch it up and I could feel like, you know, a different mommy than today or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. And then I started going back to the dentist, getting my teeth whitened, you know, just doing things that I'm going to get my wisdom teeth pulled next month so I could straighten out my bottom row, because it bothers me. It hurts the way my wisdom teeth are growing in. But, you know, the little things that we have to do to take care of ourselves that we don't do. And I'm happy to move off the mountain because there's no Black community up here.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do my own hair, but I need someone to fix some of my dreads that are kind of jacked up that I don't know how to fit, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
You got to do for yourself too, because if we don't do for ourselves and have our own type of happiness, then we're solely reliant on getting our happiness through our kids. And that's not right.
Yeah, that's not right. Absolutely. Mm, that was a mouthful right there. You know,
I talk too much too.
To take care. You're the perfect guest. We need to take care of ourselves. It's we can't say that enough. You know, you deserve to have mommy time, whatever that time may be. It doesn't have to cost money. You don't have to leave your house. But, you know, the saying is we can't pour from an empty cup.
No, and you can't.
And when meltdowns happen, I realize that it feels a lot better when I'm full. One day I went out with a friend of mine and she came in from out of town and I spent the whole day with her. I came home at 8 o'clock and we had gone out to eat. We hung out. And when I came home and I took over and put Mason to bed, he had like a meltdown for like 45 minutes. And I was not filled with anxiety during the meltdown.
You were good. Because
I have filled up my cup.
Exactly.
So it felt so different than me being drained already and then him having a meltdown.
And that can even extend a meltdown if they start feeding off of us as parents and our energy and what we're giving to that meltdown, you know, the oxygen we're giving into it, yelling or whatever, or just staying calm and helping them to get back to their happy, peaceful place, whatever that looks like for a child. All children are different. I totally agree with you. We need our time.
Absolutely. And so I love the advocacy that you're doing again. And if you could give the parents any message, what would it be?
If I could give the parents any message, what would it be?
You said a lot.
Number one, take care of yourself, because you can't take care of your children if you're not taking care of yourself. And number two, do activities at home, even if they're in school. Carry that over to the home and do those activities. Pay attention what they're doing in speech, feeding therapy, ABA. Don't be zoned out. Don't be on your phone. I know our ABA therapist and BCBA have both said, I can't believe you're in every session. Parents don't do that. Parents usually go wash dishes, cook, blah, blah, blah. But then that doesn't carry over to once that therapist leaves or that BCBA leaves, then the parent's not being consistent in services, really, if their child is only learning things for 45 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, or the 3 hours they're at preschool or 8 hours they're at school, and then they come home, and then home life is completely different. Mommy's not helping me with PECs. Daddy's not helping me with my AAC device, these things that need to be, you know, around children at all times. If your child has PECs, AAC, whatever talking device they might have, it has to be near your child at all times. And you have to model it as a parent, because so many parents say, my child doesn't use PECs, but they have it. My child doesn't use an AAC, but they have it. They don't use it because it's up to you as a parent to say, this isn't his AAC device, but to say, oh, look, we're going upstairs, touch upstairs, or I touch upstairs. Or it might even sign it too for my 2-year-old who does sign language, you know? So that way they see, oh, that's where mommy goes to touch it. And then they might remember that. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be hand over hand, but it has to be modeled all day long. Do activities with your kids at home. Know what resources you have in your state. Know what resources you have in your county, city, whoever. Get a support group, join one, even if it's just one of your best friends. Do that type. And I'm going to start posting on my TikTok. I thought about it last night. Every state. I'll probably start with California because that's where I live. And just say all the resources in California. And then maybe a couple days, whatever. New Jersey. Say all the resources for New Jersey. So New Jersey people can jump in and say it. Florida, New York, you know, Nevada, Texas. I used to live in Texas, girl, too. I lived in Houston for a while. I love Texas.
I'm in Houston.
Yep, I used to live in Houston. Wow. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to do it for every state. So, and I'll put it on Instagram as well, too. I'll try. But I'll put it on my TikTok for sure. I'm Zuleika Williams on TikTok. I provide as many resources as I can. A lot of parents email me resources, message me resources, comment resources, and I blast it out and post and put it out there to everyone. Know what your state has. It's very important. And if your state doesn't have it, consider moving. Okay, so MAPS doctor. It's not the MAPS people think of right away with the dirty minds, but it's a Medical Academy of Pediatric and Special Needs. These doctors take a more, you can Google MAPS, M-A-P-S, doctors. They take a holistic approach to your child. So for example, Maddox is autistic. He has some things going on with his health in regards to how he gets pale, his cracked toenails. He has a number of things. I'm not going to run down that list.
But the toenails,
right? It's not normal to where I take him to the pediatrician. Oh, that's just a part of autism. Everything. So a MAPS doctor doesn't say that's just a part of autism. A MAPS doctor looks at your child as a whole and dives deeper, looks at the labs. We did labs on heavy metals. We did, and it was all non-invasive. So one of them was a hair test. One of them was a urine test. One of them was a saliva test. The saliva test was the genetics testing. So yeah, long story short, we're waiting for those results to come back and we're going to have another appointment and I'll blast that on TikTok and Instagram about his results because I know he's lacking in certain areas. I did get one of the results back yet, but we haven't talked about it with the doctor yet. So with this doctor, we're using Nancy Mullen, Nancy spelled the traditional way and then M-U-L-L-A-N. She's a medical doctor, a psychiatrist. But she takes the whole, so we're not using her as a psychiatrist, obviously. She's been in this for years. And how we found our MAPS doctor, I prayed about it. Mary Barbera told me on her podcast, get a MAPS doctor. So I prayed about it. I didn't know who to go to. I Googled, I searched, all these doctors came up per city, you know, by in California, but they're all over the U.S. And I prayed about it. And one day I was going to the gas station because we needed DEF fluid for our Jeep. And I hate going to this one gas station because I feel like the men are too flirty. But I went there anyway. Something took me there. I hadn't been there in months. And the guy said, oh, I see him all the time. And out of nowhere, he said, tell me about your kids. And I usually don't say, so we have a four-year-old that's autistic. And I said that, you know, just talking to someone. And I even caught myself. And he's like, I have to talk to you. That's what he said. Do you have time? Because I have to talk to you. And he said, I had my 17-year-old was severely autistic, spinning in circles, hand flapping, nonverbal, repetitive movements, you know, all of that. And he said, we got a special doctor for him. And he no longer shows any signs of autism whatsoever. And I'm not saying there's a cure for autism because I know people try to attack me if I say something. I'm not saying there's a cure. But I'm saying this man said his son that's 17 years old as a toddler had severely autistic. And now as a 17-year-old is in mainstream classes, has friends, has a girlfriend, goes to prom, you know, does all the no signs of autism whatsoever because they ran his labs every couple months and they supplemented correctly, not guessing, but correctly. They saw what he was deficient in, saw what he was too high in. Okay. And he said, on top of that, you need to have your kids in services. And one of the first things he said, did you change his diet yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like that when I say that. But this is a guy who had...
I just started.
17 and as a toddler. So this is years ago. And he's saying, did you change his diet yet? Because that was the major factor, getting him off of gluten, dairy, sugars, processed foods, the bad cooking oils, all of that. And I know it's hard, but it helps. And another mom in the support group that I go to, I'm not going to say her name because it's a support group, but she said she ran into a lady at a restaurant one day and she had a severely autistic kid who's now an adult, no signs of autism whatsoever. The first thing she told her was, did you change his diet? So yeah, if you don't have a MAPS doctor, get a MAPS doctor, ask around your community, search, do some type of way. We use Nancy Mullen. You could use her nationwide. She does it through the computer because all she needs to do is look at labs. She doesn't need to look at your, you know, she sees them on the computer, but she doesn't need to see them in person. She looks at the labs and she runs the labs and MAPS doctors do cost out of pocket. I'm going to say that. It's not covered by the insurance. I've heard some parents say they can get theirs covered, but Ours is not covered, and we have to pay for labs out of pocket because they're not through LabCorp or something like that. So okay. Be ready to pay some money. We're having our mom, my mom, she's helping us out with, you know, with appointments, paying for labs and all of that, but it helps. Like I said, I would lose everything to help my child because I don't want to see him self-injure. I want him to be able to communicate better and not hit his head because he can't get a word out or bang his head on the floor. Like, I'm not saying there's a cure for autism, but I'm saying I want to help my child to the best ability I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. So that's and the real thing is that we don't know, you know, and it's really sad that, you know, we have to say those things like, okay, I'm not saying there's a cure because we know that we're going to get jumped on social media.
Exactly.
But listen, I appreciate it. And I'm going to look for a MAP doctor too. A MAP doctor. I'm going to look. So thanks for giving Nancy Mullen's name.
Yeah. Look at her or look at anyone that you, wherever. And I also want to get Maddox a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. So I've heard that can help a lot too. And I don't know. I hear a lot of parents on TikTok say it, but I'm going to try that too. Because I've heard it helps with language by certain adjustments and whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I enjoyed our conversation, and I know that the parents have learned a lot. Follow Zuleika on TikTok. I will link her TikTok in the description of the show, and you'll be able to see it on social media as well. And thank you so much for
taking time out of your day. Thank you for having me. I'm on Instagram as well, too, and I'm trying to be more active there. But yeah, thank you for having me. This is like... Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do for the community. You're amazing. Thank
you. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Peace, guys.
For listeners, that we drop episodes every single Wednesday, and you always have the option to choose joy. Bye-bye.